We're not going to win this by tiptoeing into this. We're not going to win this by apologizing and say pretty please to the Antichrist and the spirit of the Antichrist. This is Fritz Bergen, bloodandfaith.com. It's the weekend. It's the 7th of May, 2022. I know too many Christians, and I've been part of the problem. I'm not going to butter it up and lie to you. Too meek, too mild, too apologetic. I don't want to offend anybody. That spirit comes in, and it's like, you know, our job is to be meek and mild and to submit and be inoffensive. And then you go look at the prophets and Abraham. Abram goes to war, and Moses, and David, and Jesus Christ, and Stephen, and Peter, and Paul. And it's like, man, they offended a lot of people. And as a church, we're too timid to make a difference. And we're lectured all the time, you can't be offensive. You got to love the sinner. And we walk around on eggshells trying not to offend the Antichrist. Well, at some point along the way, I broke out of that, didn't I? At bloodandfaith.com. I've been called all the modern evils that there are. Racist, sexist, homophobic, transphobic, queerphobic, intolerant, divisive, anti-Semitic, Islamophobic. The nine sins of Satan. Broken all nine of Satan's sins. He's racist, sexist, homophobic, transphobic, queerphobic, intolerant, divisive, anti-Semitic, and in Islamophobic. I want to build Christian nations, folks. Homosexual marriage will never be legal in a Christian nation. Why would it be? I can't believe you would even say that. And the problem is the church has come to a point where it's they can't imagine being accused of breaking Satan's nine sins. They'll go out and they'll break the Ten Commandments of God. But, oh, Lord, no, they're not going to break Satan's nine sins. And so if you say something like LGBTQ in schools is nothing but child abuse, oh, you're being provocative and extremist. We don't want a theocracy. And they live in one. You already live in a theocracy. And the only way we're going to get around this is open up our eyes, open up our minds, see what is really going on. And when the church has been so conditioned to not be offensive to the Antichrist, that it's silent. Hey, the whole thing needs to be blown up. Just kapooey. Blow it up, baby. Burn it down. Oh, you're advocating violence. Ideologically speaking, something's wrong in the church. And God bless the church. I wouldn't talk the way I'm talking if I didn't love the church. I love the church. I'm speaking about the body of Christ. That invisible body of Christ, those believers in Jesus Christ that have been personally converted. And yet they are more afraid of offending the Antichrist than standing up and speaking what Jesus Christ has said. I've gotten a lot of flack for that, quoting exactly what the Holy Scriptures say. Quoting exactly what the Holy Scriptures say, especially regarding a certain self-identified group of people that are utterly, utterly, utterly antichrist and have been for over 2,000 years. And the church goes around saying things that are just, there's no scriptural justification for them. There's no justification for it scripturally. Not any more than there is of the, you know, following the traditions of the elders that Jesus Christ lambasted the Pharisees for in Matthew chapter 15, verses 1 through 9. You got your little tradition. And we're afraid. Because you know that as soon as you come out, you say something that breaks one of Satan's nine commandments, racist, sexist, homophobic, transphobic, queerphobic, intolerant, divisive, anti-Semitic, Islamophobic. Oh my God. The Antichrists are going to have a hissy fit. Their heads are going to explode, and they're going to call you a Nazi and a Hitler and a fascist. And you're going to go on Antifa's list. I put up a meme the other day. It already got taken down. I put it up on Instagram. And it says, if you're afraid to speak up, you're already a slave. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that? What is more docile than a meme like that? If you're afraid to speak up, you are already a slave. Why is that even remotely controversial? It's true on its face. And the real battle belongs to the church on this thing. The real battle, it belongs to the church of Jesus Christ, because we're the ones commissioned to preach the gospel. We're the ones commissioned to preach the truth, not a truncated version of the truth that is inoffensive to the Antichrist. And boy, the church has done a great job of that over the last 150 years. I've talked about that before. And you go out here, all these churches out here in D.C., and they got the homosexual flag out front. They've been converted. They've been converted by the cult. And the biggest hypocrites of all, it's not even the church. It's the political left. You got what's-her-name that goes up there to go on the Supreme Court, can't tell you what a woman is. And yet the next day, they're out there chanting about a women's right to an abortion. Well, how can you say that it's a women's right if you don't even know what a woman is? Biden says, I need a woman on the Supreme Court. Your own nominee doesn't even know what a woman is. What are you doing? Look, we've come full circle. We're in an American civilization that is at end. It's at the death's end. When you have somebody on the Supreme Court of the United States of America that cannot tell you what a woman is, and she's taken seriously by over 50 of the senators in there, we've come to an end. We've come to the end as a civilization, as a culture. When they can go up there and say, well, I need a woman on the Supreme Court, and the nominee doesn't know what a woman is, and the very next day they're out there chanting about a woman's right to abortion, it's over, baby. It's over. And when homosexuality becomes the norm, and we can't even defend our kids from the LGBTQ because the cult is against it, we're at the end. All right, what I want to announce to you is we're at the end. There's no more. There's nowhere this can go except for massive death. And they've got that planned. They got their little secret societies out there, their secret cabals running the organizations. Our vote doesn't matter. You know that. You've proven that. We've proven that over the last 20 years. World Economic Forum, World Governments Council, World Health Organization, let alone the cabal in D.C., and the teachers' union, and the Department of Education. Kids belong to us, belong to the parents. Do not belong to the state. Do not belong to the teachers. Well, that's not what Biden said. We've come to an end, and the weapon of mass destruction that's going to blow this mess up is going to be the church and the preachers. That's the only one that it can be. It's going to be the preachers that stand up in their pulpit and they roar like lions. You want to know why you don't have any power in your sermons? Maybe it's because you're self-censoring. You're self-censoring. Let's say something that's not going to offend the majority of the congregation and it's not going to offend the left. I don't know why I'm talking about this, but I am. And I get it. I get it. It's hard being a pastor. It's hard running a church. It can be a very miserable job. I know firsthand. And, you know, how do you keep everybody happy? And it's hard enough to get somebody in the door and to leave in a heartbeat. Well, maybe that's the wrong model. Maybe that's the wrong business model. I know. I shouldn't say it's a business model. But reality is, I can't figure out a church in any other way than a small business. Big business for some of them. Should it be that way? No. Do I have the wisdom on how to make it work? No, I don't. So I'm not telling you you're doing something wrong. Not saying that at all. But the end result of whatever modern evangelicalism has done in the last 150 years has had a return of exactly zero. The United States has gone to hell in the last 150 years. Canada, Australia, New Zealand, right there with us. Maybe not quite as bad, maybe worse, depending on who you are, where you're from. So my advice, my counsel, my wisdom, is you're not going to get ahead by doing the same thing you did before. the church in America is not going to say, you're saying, oh, the Holy Spirit just needs to fall. If the Holy Spirit falls today and you're teaching the same doctrines that you did for the last 15 years, we're going to end up in the same place in 3 years. And it won't change anything. The church is more afraid of breaking Satan's nine laws than God's Ten Commandments. You know it's true. You know it's true. Oh, well, you can't be racist. Salvation is based on race. Salvation is based on bloodline. Oh. You can't be sexist. Hey, Jesus Christ appointed exactly zero female apostles. Zero. Zero homosexual apostles. Zero. None. Yes, there's the prophetess Deborah. Yes, the book of Acts talks about the man who had five daughters that were prophetesses. Church leadership is a male thing. Still going to say that. You want to find an exception? That's an exception. It's not the rule. Oh, but I don't want to be accused of being a sexist. Male's the head of the family. Male's the head of the family. I don't care if he's a Christian or not. He's the head of the family. And the church is out there trying to find ways around the Word of God. Let's find a way around the Word of God. Oh, well, he's not the head of the family because he's not a Christian. No, sorry. That's called witchcraft. That's rebellion. You got a young person. You want to know what to do with life. You want to get some advice. Go see dad. Go ask their dad. The dad is the only one that God gave that prophetic mantle to. Christian or not, I don't care. Don't want to hear about it. Too many witches in the church. After getting all spiritual, trying to do weird stuff. Hey, you guys didn't come here to listen to a little Sunday school sermon, did you? I hope not. Because that ain't me. What am I missing? There's Baptist preachers that are out there doing an Abrahamic faith thing, trying to combine the Jews and the Muslims and the Christians. Because, oh, we got one God, one faith, all from the Abraham. It's called the Antichrist. He's given himself over to the Antichrist. Look, if you love the world, you make yourself an enemy with God. If you love the world, you make yourself an enemy of God. James 4:4. James 4:4. The Pope's doing the same thing. And God bless the Catholics. There's a lot of good, born-again, God-loving, Jesus-loving, Bible-believing Catholics. And they're not any... they're in just as good a place as 99% of the evangelicals who won't say something because they're going to offend somebody. And then there's this cult, this heresy belief within the evangelical church that Antichrist people are somehow Christ people. How does that work? You utterly reject, as a people, as a race, as a religion, Jesus Christ. You curse him, and you're God's elect? No, sorry. Hebrews 12:22-24. We've already come to Mount Zion. We've come to the heavenly Jerusalem. We've come to the city of the saints. We've come to Mount Zion. That's it. It's the church. Has their church replaced them? Utterly, yes. Well, I just don't believe that's replacement theology. Judas was utterly replaced. Judas was a traitor. He was called, he was chosen by Jesus Christ, and he went his own way. He was a traitor, and he was utterly replaced. First chapter of the book of Acts, utterly replaced. Jesus Christ said it's better if that man had never been born. He was called, and he was chosen by Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ made it very clear. I've called you and I've chosen every one of you. All of you 12, I've chosen you. Yet one of you is a traitor. That traitor, Judas Iscariot, was utterly replaced. Utterly. His name was erased from the book of life. And his place in his ministry was given to somebody else. Acts chapter 1. The old covenant has been utterly done away with. Utterly gone and utterly replaced by the new covenant. Utterly replaced, utterly. There's nothing left of that. And that is not referring to the Holy Scriptures. That's referring to the blood of bulls and goats being utterly replaced by the blood of Jesus Christ. Don't lecture me about replacement theology. I gave you 99 steps to replacement theology. You go back and you read the Hebrew Scriptures, it talks about the Lord. It's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Talking about Zion, you're talking about Jesus Christ and those in Jesus Christ, His people. Is Jesus Christ that came and He cursed Jerusalem, He cursed the temple. Said you're going to be destroyed, utterly destroyed. Why do y'all want to build that stuff? The whole book of Hebrews is against rebuilding that stuff. The whole book of Hebrews says don't go back and rebuild this stuff. We need a change of theology. And I don't mean replacing the Scriptures with what the Scriptures teach. I mean we've had the leaven of the Pharisees vastly infect the evangelical church, the evangelical world, vastly, to the point where that preachers are afraid. And that's why it's every Sunday after Sunday. Oh, God, here's another chapter on how 12 steps to not sinning. That's, you know, right. That's all we need to hear. Another 12 steps on how to not to sin. 5 steps to a better prayer life. 6 steps to overcoming whatever. You know, here's another, 14-week series on the rapture. Our job is to discipline the nations. Have you not read in Daniel chapter 7 where the time comes when the judgment will be passed and the rulership of the nations will be turned over to the saints of the Most High? How are you going to rule the nations, church? You're going to rule the nations. Oh, and you're sensitive to the Antichrist peoples, whether they're your neighbor or your brother or your cousin or whoever it is, because you don't want to offend them. Yet the Bible says Jesus Christ will come and He'll rule the nations with a rod of iron. And by the way, so will His church. The rulership of the nations will be turned over to the faithful, the saints in Jesus Christ. Oh, that's a theocracy. You already live in a theocracy. You got those 12 people up there in the Supreme Court. They're the high priests and prophets of our civilization. And they've defended live human sacrifice to Satan himself. That's what abortion is. It's the live human sacrifice of the most innocent of all. A human live blood sacrifice to Satan. That's what abortion is. Oh, I don't want to offend my soccer mom next door. Got to be a little provocative, church. I've been accused of being provocative. Fritz is provocative. He's got a provocative blog, says Politico. Come on, church. And I know, I get it. I get it. Nobody likes to be called a Hitler. Nobody likes to be called a fascist. Nobody likes to be called a Nazi. Butch up, dude. Butch up. Jesus Christ was very clear. Hey, if they called me Beelzebul, what do you think they're going to call you guys? Butch up, church. Butch up. Oh, I'm afraid they're going to call me a dirty name and I'm going to go on a government list or the Antifa list. Butch up. Butch up, church. Jesus Christ says, if they called me Beelzebul, what are you guys expecting? Oh, you want to follow me? You want to follow me. Pick up your dang cross. Pick it up. If you're not willing to, you're not worthy. You're not worthy to follow Jesus Christ. And we're more afraid of offending Satan and his 9 laws than we are of offending Jesus Christ and the word of the Lord. Why? Why? And this is why I'm saying we need to get back to solid theology, what's been taught all along. But we've allowed the leaven of the Pharisees to come in to introduce these traditions of men, Matthew chapter 15, verses 1 through 9. And you've seen the enmity between Jesus Christ and John the Baptist and the Pharisees, because they came in and they introduced all this nonsense, and they appeared to be so moral and righteous. And they introduced traditions of men that supplanted the Word of God. And eventually, 3 centuries later, it gets written down. And the church is it's a natural, well, it's a spiritually expected thing, because if it wasn't expected, Jesus Christ wouldn't have lectured against it. If there was not a force to drive the church toward the traditions of men, Jesus Christ would not have been so explicit about warning against the leaven of the Pharisees. People think it's a, you know, there's Jesus again. He's off on some little planet. I mean, even the disciples thought that. Jesus said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. And the disciples looking at each other. They're looking at each other. And they're like, what? What is this guy? What's he saying? It's because we got no bread? What? And Jesus says, guys, talking about their doctrines, their traditions of men that they've elevated over the Word of God. And this is why Jesus Christ warned again. His first sermon, Matthew chapter 5. First sermon, Sermon on the Mount. Do not say that I have come to abolish the law and the prophets. Do not say that. Do not say that I've come to abolish the law. I have not come to abolish the law, said Jesus Christ. And at least 2 or 3 times, Jesus Christ verbatim repeats the Ten Commandments in the Gospels. Talks to the rich young ruler. Jesus, what should I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said, obey the commandments. He said, I have from my youth. And Jesus repeats them, don't commit adultery, don't steal, don't covet. Honor your parents. Even Matthew chapter 5. Excuse me, chapter 15. Pharisees are getting on Jesus Christ because he's breaking Satan's nine commandments: racist, sexist, homophobic, transphobic, queerphobic, intolerant, divisive, anti-Semitic, Islamophobic. And Jesus says to him, "You elevate your traditions over the Word of God. And when the Word of God says honor your father and mother, you undermine that by saying whatever you would have given to your parents, it's given to God." You whitewashed tombs. How will you escape the sentence of hell? And their specific tradition of men was some formula on how to wash their hands before they ate. We got the same thing now, except we don't even wash our hands. We just got all these other things. You can't offend people. You can't offend the Antichrist. Look, I'm the most institutionally, psychologically, personally, I'm the most inoffensive person out there. I'm not a guy that just likes to go out there and just, be provocative. I want to fit in and get along and ride, baby. I got no interest in being brave and being out there. None whatsoever. But it comes to a point, indeed for me, where I'm like, you know what? This sucks. I'm either going to open my mouth up and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, or I'm not. And if it offends somebody, well, you know what? A lot of people were offended by Jesus Christ, and Jeremiah, and Stephen, and Peter, and Paul, and Moses, and Abraham. And the list goes on. Look, be brave in proclaiming the Word of God. Don't hide. Make the mistake of going overboard in zeal for the Word of God. Don't make the mistake of going overboard so you're inoffensive. Jesus Christ shows up to the church. No, he doesn't show up to the church. He shows up to the temple. Shows up to the temple. And he goes in there. He builds a whip. He builds himself a whip. Didn't even pick it up. He had to think about this. Premeditated. He builds a whip with leather cordage. And he goes out there and he takes the whip to men. Hands on, baby, hands on. Literally and physically, kinetically drives them out of the temple. Disciples were reminded of the scripture, the zeal of The zeal of the Lord will consume him. Oh, you can't do that. That's against the law. That would offend the Antichrist. They meant well. That's just what they do. What I'm saying, we've erred on the side of being inoffensive to the Antichrist and not having a zeal for the Holy Scriptures. That's what we've done. Oh, God just loves the sinner. You don't say that because you have zeal for the word of the Lord. You say that because you don't want to offend them and you want to be their friends. James 4:4. Friendship of the world is enmity with God. Look, if this doesn't apply to you, great. It applied to me. It applied to me, Fritz Berggren. And I'm doing what I can to adjust it in my life. I'm not any better than the next guy. I'm not any better than the next guy out there. Not in any way, shape, or form. When I preach to you, I preach to me. Oh, for the day when the church is more concerned for having zeal for what the Holy Scriptures say than they are and whether or not they offend, you know, pick your Antichrist spirit. And we've literally bent the knee because we've bound our own tongues. We've bound our own tongues. The church has bound our own tongues. And you get in the Holy Scriptures, and it teaches things that you may never have imagined. And I cover that stuff, a lot of it, at bloodandfaith.com and in this podcast. Well, I can't believe that you believe in nations and borders. Well, I believe that that's what the Holy Scripture teaches. So I teach it and I preach it unapologetically. Well, that smacks of white nationalism. So what? A smacks of? What does that mean, smacks of? What does smacks of mean? I believe in nationalism. Which nationalism? All of them. All of them. Tower of Babel. 70 nations. God divides the nations. He sends them separate ways. He enforces the division by changing their languages. He gives them times and borders. Acts chapter 17, verse 26, I want to say. He establishes their times and their boundaries to see which nations would serve him. You mix us all up one under a UN situation, one world government. Look at the trend now. You think you're really going to have the freedom to go out there and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ? Oh, yes, we can do that. Yeah, so can the Church of China. They can go preach the gospel of Jesus Christ as long as their preacher is a member of the Communist Party in good standing. And he's got rats that'll rat him out if he diverges from the agenda. It's already here in the United States. I wrote a fictional piece. I said, look, you just roll forward. Just give yourself a few years, baby. You know how you got fire alarms in every single building out there? It's mandated. How many years before every fire alarm is going to have a sound recording device that's going into an AI somewhere for your safety that can hear gunshots? Guess what, folks? They've already got that in many, many cities around the world. London is one of them, probably the United States. Got these sound devices out on the city streets. They hear gunshots. Boom, it goes right into the AI, and it comes right up on the board. Say, okay, we get gunshots right here. They can nail it down to within yards of where these gunshots are coming from. It's existing technology. Alexa, how about Alexa? You don't think your next fire system's going to have Alexa built in? Preachers up there preaching because you're in a room that will hold more than four people at once. Got a fire alarm in there that's run by Alexa or Siri or whoever. And it goes into the AI. Hey, preacher, you spent less than 1% of your time advancing the UN goals for 2030 over the last month. We're going to deduct 5% out of your bank account. But don't worry, you can get that back. All you have to do is make up for that next month. And if you have any questions, refer to the FAQ. Don't tell me this isn't coming. This is coming. Don't tell me it's not coming. And that's if you're not being recorded on a cell phone by one of your lovely parishioners. You know, the ones that are coming to you every Sunday and telling you what a great sermon it was, but then they list the 16 things that you said wrong. You know what I'm talking about. You know who I'm talking about. Oh, I really like your sermon, but don't you think this? Don't you think that? And what about this? You know who those people are? You don't think they're going to be recording all your stuff? Of course, you can do like I do. I just put it out there anyway. Oh, my God. And then the haters come, and you get death threats, and, you know, they turn you into whatever. They call Jesus Christ Beelzebub. Why do you expect to be treated any better? Do you think Jesus Christ went out of his way to gain the respect or admiration of the Antichrist? I don't think so. Do you think Peter went around saying, oh my God, Romans 13, I have to respect the worldly authorities. So Peter marches into the home of a Roman officer who's sworn allegiance to Caesar. He comes in there into his home and says, Jesus Christ is Lord. You talk about a slap in the face, disrespect, insurrection, undermining legitimate authority. Peter walks right in. The first thing he says to the Roman official, Jesus Christ is Lord. Not Caesar. Jesus Christ is Lord. Oh, Peter, if you just toned it down a little bit, you could have converted him and maybe he would have, you know, had great effects for the kingdom of God. Peter walks right in there. Jesus Christ is Lord. You want to keep going? You want to hear my message? You want to kill me? Go for it, dude. Go for it. Jesus Christ is Lord. Still want to hear? Still want to hear what I have to say, Roman? And the Roman did, and the Roman was converted. Church has done just the opposite. Oh, let's not offend anybody. Let's love the homosexual. And on and on and on and on. And the Hindu and the Muslim, and more worried about fitting in. Preaching to myself, folks. Preaching to myself. So what's the answer to all this? It's what I've said from the beginning. You got to open up your mouth and speak. Be more afraid of not speaking enough than speaking too much. I know the proverbs say a wise man keeps his mouth shut. I got it. Live my life that way. But there comes a point when that's enough's enough. Jesus Christ did not live his life by keeping his mouth shut. Neither did Stephen or Peter or Paul or Jeremiah or Isaiah or Joel or any of the prophets. They opened up their mouths and spoke. Well, I might not have got it just right. Yeah, you might not have. And at least you got it. At least you said something. 99% of the people won't say anything because they're afraid of getting put on a list, either by the government or Antifa or the different people that represent them. You're at local church interfaith coalition. Oh, he's one of them. Racist, sexist, homophobic, transphobic, queerphobic, intolerant, divisive, anti-Semitic, Islamophobic. Look, we're at a time when you can the game is on, folks. I'm telling you, the game's on. The cap is off. The lid's coming off of this world system. And I realize they're trying to put the last little dashes and dots on the crowning achievement. They're trying to put the crowning achievement on this global system. I got that, and it looks that way. But I'm telling you, I'm flat out telling you, it's exploding from the ground up. It's exploding. And people are saying, I'm not doing this anymore. I'm not saying this anymore. I'm not going along with this anymore. I'm not going to keep quiet anymore. And they're roaring. They may sound like kittens now, but they'll get to lions. And the left is having a fit. Left is having a fit. The only reason, my opinion, the only reason you saw this that somebody wrote this wonderful Supreme Court decision that may or may not go through is there's been a bunch of little people out there roaring. And finally, the Almighty says, oh, okay. Hey, church is waking up. Church is waking up. Angel, why don't you go, you know, tip the scales over here and over there. Kick those demons out of there and let some righteousness go forward. Lord of the Rings, movie, Lord of the Rings. You got these hobbits. Man, I'm like the typical hobbit. Adventure? No. I'm a hobbit. I'm staying right here. I don't want to go on an adventure. I'm going to smoke my pipe. I'm going to eat my food. I got my little home. I got my little friends around. No. I don't talk to me about an adventure. But the word was, listen, only you can do it. It's got to be a hobbit that does it. So you and your two friends, you're coming with us. Because only you can do it. We can't do it. Yes, we're stronger than you. We're more powerful than you. We're wiser than you. We've got powers beyond your imagination. But we're not hobbits. So you got the elves, and you got, you know, the dwarves, and you got, you know, all these other folks on the side of the hobbits. But only the hobbits can play that. Men are like that. The Christian church is like that. Angels ain't going to do this for us. You got to have the church out there, Christians out there, opening up their mouth and speaking, as weak as we are, as ignorant as we are, as imperfect as we are. Don't wait until you're pristine and without blemish to go do God's work. Don't do that. And when we get out there and we preach and open up our mouths and we say that which needs to be said, guess what? God said, okay. And all of a sudden, all the forces of heaven are there to help. But we have to initiate it. Gideon's the perfect example. Judges chapter 6, I think it starts in 6. Judges 3, 4, and 5 is the prophetess Deborah and her sidekick Barak, who was afraid to go out to war unless Deborah came. So God gave the honor to Jael, who drove a wooden stake through the brains of the enemy king. Great story, man. Read that, Judges 3, 4, and 5. Then read Gideon. Gideon says, you know, he's like us. He's like, God, things are bad out there. Lord, when are you going to do something? And so he's out there. He's being a gray man. He's down in a wine press threshing wheat. Why are you in a wine press threshing wheat? He's trying to hide. Trying to be the great man, trying to stay out of the limelight, trying to stay out of the sight of the Amorites. Angel of the Lord shows up and says, oh, mighty warrior. And Gideon's looking around. He's like, who are you talking to? I'm the least man in the least house in the least tribe of Israel. Who am I? Well, guess what? You're the only guy that stood up and was willing to pray and act this way. I want to know if you mean what you say. You pray this way, do you mean what you say? I'll bet you $100 Gideon wasn't even the first guy that the angel of the Lord went to. I'll bet you that. I'm betting you money. He went to other people and they said, oh, man of God. And they said, well, heck no. No. That's not God. That's not God. It's not God that I go out there and burn the idols of my father's house. That's not the Lord. Angel goes to get in. You're it, buddy. You're it. Oh, mighty warrior. And they, you know, had some back and forth and this and that. And his first assignment, you go down and burn the idols in your father's house. I can't do that. Bible says to honor my father and mother. I can't do that. I'm violating authority. That's biblical authority. That's offensive. No, Gideon did it. And guess what? Changed the history of his country. Changed the history of his faith. And I'm at the top of the list for being the guy that says, I don't want to do it. I'm at the top of the list. No, I want to be the gray man, be in my little wine pit, treading out the wheat, staying out of the line of fire. That applies to most of us. And they get you some guy out there, and this is why I'll give credit to Alex Jones. Oh, he's not a Christian. Listen, he's more of a Christian than 90% of the evangelicals who are afraid to offend the Antichrist. Well, Alex Jones is this and that, and he said this and he said that, and he's got this issue and that issue. The dude opens his mouth. He opens his mouth while the church remains silent. Church has more fear of the Antichrist than they do of Jesus Christ. You know it's true. listen, this whole thing's about to break open. It's about to crumble. Don't be the guy that shows up after the fight saying, oh, I was here too. I was here too. No, you weren't. You're a liar. God will get you on the judgment day. He knows who was there and who wasn't. You're afraid. Are you ashamed of me and my words? I'll be ashamed of you at the judgment day. Listen, I'm telling you, I'm flat out telling you, this whole world system's about to bust and crack open. And it's going to be ugly. It's going to be brutal. It's going to be vicious. But it's happening now as we speak. I don't care how close it looks for them to be consolidated and controlled. It's all going to bust wide open. Daniel chapter 7, the court sat, the books were opened, and judgment was passed in favor of the saints of the Most High, who will rule the kingdom forever and ever and ever and ever. That's our historic moment. I don't want to hear how dark it is. And you got this little tradition that the Antichrist is taken over and you're going to get raptured. That's all you can think about. How about building Christian nations? What's a Christian? It's a people. A nation is the blood. A nation is the person. A government is just the structure that supports the nation. And we've inverted this in Western society. The government becomes the god and the purpose of the nation, whereas the government is supposed to support the nation, not vice versa. Well, where did you get that idea? Holy scriptures from the Bible. What does a Christian look like? It's a people who spend their lives in the Holy Scriptures. Well, that sounds like theocracy to me. What do you think you have now? K through 12, K through PhD program, atheism, evolution. It's drilled into you from K through graduate school. Atheism and evolution. And you want to throw a little bit of ice cream sprinkles on top to make your atheism and evolution look pretty, look Christian? Here's a cross. Put a cross around your neck. Good luck with that. In the meantime, our entire culture and civilization is literally going to hell. These people are going to hell. Why? The church has been afraid to speak up and wake up. I got good news for you. The time has come. Judgment's been passed in favor of the saints of the Most High. And the kingdoms of this world shall be the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall rule forever. Live that way. Speak that way. Don't be a Johnny come lately. Here's Jesus. Oh, Jesus, look at me. I'm your follower. And he says, yeah, did you open your mouth? When they're going to call you a Nazi, racist, sexist, homophobic, transphobic, queerphobic, intolerant, divisive, anti-Semitic, Islamophobic? Oh, no, I didn't want to offend them. If you're afraid of me, if you're ashamed of me, you're ashamed of my words, I'll be ashamed of you before my Father and his holy angels. Look, and I ain't saying it's pretty. I ain't saying it's nice. I'm just saying what it is. And I'm saying I'm as guilty as sin as the next person out there. I'm not any better than the next person. I'm just trying to deal with what I got. And am I perfect? Have I said things wrong? Oh, oh boy, have I ever. But let it be said, I'll never make the mistake of keeping my mouth shut again. Not keeping my mouth shut in order to make an Antichrist happy. We got this thing, guys. I'm telling you, we got this thing. But we got to press in and believe. We're going to build Christian nations. We're going to resurrect Christianity across Europe, North America, South America, Australia, New Zealand, Southern Africa, and anywhere else where a people wants to build a Christian civilization. I'm still waiting for that Nigerian prince to stand up and say, to heck with you, UN. We're not taking your homosexual garbage. We're going to build a Christian nation right here in the heart of Africa. Explicitly Christian, where Jesus Christ is the monarch, Jesus Christ is the Lord. That's the future, guys. That's the future. That's what the Bible teaches. The world's run by a cult now. It's run by an Antichrist cult. The normalcy is not that you're allowed to have your little one-hour church service in the dark, banging on the drums with a women's singing group in the dark. Oh, we're free to worship God. No, it's to build Christian nations. Just as they've squeezed the oxygen out of the life of the church. Listen, in a Christian nation, kids will never be exposed to LGBTQ agenda, ever. It's called child abuse, and the people that spread that will be treated as child abusers. Fritz Bergen, bloodandfaith.com.